The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action, located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs sports radio, Wheels.
Good Monday, Tia. Welcome to the show. Ryan and Wheels with you in studio. Glad you are here as well. Hopefully you're staying dry. Kind of some big news today. Broncos had day 10 of training camp. It was held indoors because the weather in Denver's just as bad as it is here. And guess what? We found out who the starting quarterback is going to be
for Thursday's preseason game.
It's going to be Trevor. It's going to be Trevor first. Well, he's been first out all spring and all training camp. You know, I think Trevor's earned that much, you know, to be the first guy out.
And that's all well and good. There's Vance Joseph today up at Dove Valley, but of course, if Trevor Siemian is starting the first preseason game, that must mean he's leading the quarterback competition, right?
No, guys. No. He's first out. He's been first all training camp. He's been first out all spring, okay? It's an open competition. The games matter. The games start Thursday. So I want to get to the game so we can get to the bottom of this.
When he was saying that, Wheels, I was thinking that. What's that song? No. That song. Okay, whatever. That's fine. Vance Joseph can say that all he wants, but everybody with eyeballs right now sees that Trevor Siemian is winning this quarterback competition, or Paxton's losing it. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Six one way, half dozen the other. The point is Trevor Siemian is greater than sign Paxton Lynch right now, and it's been that way for the majority of practice. Saturday, they had the scrimmage. Whoa, is Trevor Siemian 3 of 4 throwing the football? Paxton 0 for? Paxton was 0 for throwing the football in the scrimmage on Saturday. So depending on your level of optimism and your level of fandom for one guy or the other, Trevor's winning or Paxton's losing. It's bringing up the same result. And I look at this competition and I look at it like it's like the tortoise and the hare. Everyone, Trevor's slow and steady, right? Not a lot of mistakes, doesn't wow you. So there's something to be left to be desired, but it's not something to be left desired that can really lose you football games. It can certainly keep you from winning, as we saw last year, but it also nothing that will certainly make you lose football games necessarily. So it's the tortoise and the hare, except the hare obviously is Paxton Lynch, and he's not so much a hare as he is a baby deer. You know baby deer when they're first born, where they can't even, I mean, like the movie Bambi, like you can't even stand up straight? That's Paxton Lynch right now. So it's the tortoise and the newly born deer that can't stand up straight. That's what this is.
Tortoise won the race.
Tortoise did win the race.
Just saying.
Right. But I thought tortoise and the hare, and then I'm like, that would insinuate that that Paxton Lynch is doing so well initially that he was light years in front of Trevor Siemian, yeah. And then he got cocky. There's been days, I'm not trying to make this out to be Simeon's blanking Paxton Lynch. Paxton Lynch has had better days than Trevor Siemian, but more days have gone Trevor's way than Paxton's way. And so Vance Joseph did go on to say that Paxton will start against San Francisco. So now here we are. We had this whole discussion on Friday about what are we going to wait for? when are we going to say, okay, this thing needs to be done now? Because I'm kind of there, but Wheels talked me into waiting till after the Chicago game. So that's our poll question today. Want to ask you via the Twitter machine, and obviously you can weigh in on Facebook or on the text line 286-0046, but the question is, when do you want this thing decided? Okay? Your choices are right now, dang it, because we're a family show and we don't use the other word. Right now, dang it, or after the Bears game, or both guys should get a start before we decide, or you're just cool with whatever, and I don't know what you have going on in your life that's so much more fulfilling than this, but most of us need this figured out in order to move on with our lives. But those are the four choices. Now, after the Bears, after the Niners, or you're just cool with whenever Vance Joseph comes to his decision. Let us know at Extra Sports 1300 on Twitter, Facebook. You could just write us out a little message and send it to us, or you could text us 286-0046. Again, best text of the day will receive $25 to Texas T-Bum.
You are not just getting more sports. This is Extra Sports 1300.
Drive Time Sports here on a Monday. Ryan and Wheels with you in studio. Joining us now is just the Gazette's football guru, at least for today. He was up at Dove Valley and will be out at the Air Force Academy tonight covering both of the football teams that we care about very much. Brent Brigham joins us now. Hey, Brent.
Hey, how are you doing? Hey, I've always wondered, how is extra different than more? In your little lead, in the lead-in promo,
yes.
I've always wondered that.
Yeah, it's really proprietary, and I can't speak about it on air. So, busted. All right, all right. So let's start. You got the assignment, drew the short straw, I'm sure, and had to go cover the Broncos. We're in this every day, and we're looking at these two quarterbacks almost like we look at one of those old school 3D pictures where you have to like blur your eyes and look through the color to see the picture. We're just killing ourselves looking at these guys. You're kind of a fresh pair of eyes, so your perspective is very welcome on a day like this. What did you see today when you looked at Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch?
I mean, and I am very much a fresh set of eyes on this. I don't pretend to be an expert, but what I saw this morning was two guys who would make a good play and follow that with a head-scratching type interception or you know, just a total misread or just a bad decision. You know, it's like they would do something really nice, especially Paxton Lynch on some deep throws, and then come back with just something you're like, well, this is not an NFL quarterback. So I think, you know, obviously we've seen their styles, how different they are. We know their attributes. But I think the key is this: neither of them has really put it together yet consistently. At least that's what I saw today, is that both guys have the ability. They just haven't found the consistency yet.
Do you believe, again, you're kind of coming into this fresh and stuff, but do you feel like when Vance Joseph spoke today, he almost went out of his way to make sure that we all knew that this was still a competition? Because I feel like Vance is starting to realize what we're all realizing, and that this is probably Trevor Siemian's job. Do you think that he now is laying it on so thick now as to almost convince, I guess, himself that it's still a competition?
I think if you're a coach and you're a manager of people in general, you want to be fair. And if you're still evaluating these guys with the intention of keeping the competition open, I think you owe it to them to legitimately keep it open. I think if you come out before you've made your decision and tip your hand, you know, I think that's not fair to the other guy. So I think that's just any manager would do the same thing in that spot. You know, if it really hasn't come down yet to a final decision, they are not going to make it seem as though it has.
Outside of the quarterbacks, Brent Brigham of the Gazette joining us here on Drive Time Sports. Outside of the quarterbacks, what stood out to you on day 10 of Broncos training camp?
I think, and I'm going to mess up the name here. Is it Isaiah McKenzie?
No, you nailed it.
The punt returner. Mm-hmm. He looks like a playmaker. I mean, just in the offense, just getting open, catching the ball, returning punts, and just that extra gear of speed that you sometimes see from the, you know, a smaller, shifty, you know, young player. He has that in spades. I mean, he is a guy who's going to make a lot of big plays and make a lot of people miss. He was pretty impressive today, so he would be the number one thing that stood out.
Speaking of playmakers, as we shift to your normal beat, the Air Force Falcons, who are the player or players that have stood out to you through 2 days of practice?
You know, you hit it there. It's only been 2 days, mm-hmm. and, you know, both times. They've had shoulder pads and helmets, but, you know, no leg pads. Today's the first day in full pads. And then, as you saw on Saturday, it was spitting rain, and then the wind picked up terribly, and the quarterbacks just looked kind of lost throwing into this extreme wind. So it's really kind of been hard to make real evaluations yet. And, you know, obviously 2 days in, and with 212 players, I believe it is, out there on the field, it's right now more just getting everybody acclimated. And then I think this week is the week you start to kind of see somebody make a move. But I haven't seen anybody take a step back. You know, some just obvious things. Tim McVay looks bigger, which mm-hmm. is going to help him as running back. Tyler Williams looks a little bit trimmer, which probably helps him in his elusiveness as a receiver. Jerod Sanders athletically looks amazing, but he hasn't so far, in a tiny sample size, he hasn't shown the hands that you would want to see from a starting receiver. But if he can do that, I think he's certainly going to be hard to beat at that receiver spot. But again, so early, so I don't want to make too many big statements here about Air Force.
Do you think, because we had spoken about this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the running back position, it's not so much production that is having to be made up, although that is a component. But the biggest thing is the workload, right? The workload of a Jacoby Owens is going to be difficult to replicate by any one guy. But you mentioned Tim McVay and the pounds that he has put on. In talking with Tim and talking with Troy Calhoun, do you think that Tim McVay can be like Jacoby Owens was in last year's offense in terms of the number of carries he receives?
I mean, I think he can. And he has certain, there have been a few games where he's had 10 or more carries. He did, I think, 3 times in a row as a sophomore, and he just got better and better in those games. So, and then you look at his high school background, and I realize that's sort of irrelevant, but, I mean, it's still the same guy. And he ran for, I believe, somewhere around 3,000 yards over his last 2 years. So, obviously, he's been a guy who understands how to take that workload, how to run the ball a lot. And, I mean, there's obviously been nothing we've seen in what he's done at Air Force to indicate that, you know, you can't give it to him 1, 2, 3 more times and still get the same impact. It's just going to be a matter of, is that how Air Force wants to use him, or is he better? You know, I think I wrote it today, you know, like a reliever. Some guys are just better breathing fire, throwing hard for one inning. Is he better as a guy who gets it 8 to 10 times a game and is kind of that burst of speed? And then you maybe look even to that sophomore class or Benton Washington as a guy who carries it, you know, as many times as he does, so you kind of lighten that load. You know, that remains to be seen. You know, there's some good sophomores there that they'll have to choose from. But I think the default position for them has to be that Tim McVay is that everyday guy, and until he proves he can't, you have to give him every opportunity to show that that's who he is.
Brent Bergman of the Gazette joining us here on Drive Time Sports, somebody that you and I discussed while we were out there together this weekend that you really like is Santo Coppola. Tell us about him, because I think with so many guys, I mean, you look and at the leading tacklers and you got to cross off the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, like it seems like 10 names before you get to Santo in terms of guys who are still around. How important do you think he'll be to this team? And then also, how do you think that he's looked, albeit through 2 days of practice?
Yeah, again, I haven't really paid that much attention to him on the field because, again, they're not going live. You can only glean so much from what you're seeing, but and I could be wrong about him, but he is certainly a guy who fits the mold of a breakout senior season Air Force player, you know, much the way Ryan Watson was last year. Watson, the same guy in terms of he had been around for a long time in the system. He'd been on the field, but you always knew there was more that he could give than what he had. And I think it's the same deal with Sancho Coppola. You know, he's been around, he's played, he's made some big plays, but he hasn't taken over. And you just look at his body now, and he had played defensive tackle last year, so he was a little bit bigger. Now he knows he's going to play on the edge, and he's trimmed up. And he just looks, you know, the way Von Miller looks when you put him next to a defensive lineman, he just looks more lean and explosive. That's the same way Sancho Coppola looks next to a defensive lineman right now. He just looks like a guy who's got a lot of spring in his step, but you know he's got strength. And he's always had that attitude of kind of an instigator and a not a bully, but a tough guy and somebody who's not going to, you know, he wants to be in the middle of anything that's going on. And I think as a senior, you know, you throw in the maturity he's gotten just from being in the academy, you throw in that ability, and the fact that since his freshman year, he's been a guy getting varsity reps. I think all that adds together to make the kind of guy who's going to have one of those giant seasons. So that's really what I expect for him. And plus, he's a pretty big guy. I mean, he's about 6'4", probably weighing in 270-ish would be my guess. So he's not small by any means. And you know, I think he could really, really have one of those fun seasons to watch.
So day three of fall practice, or however you want to call it, what are the, knowing that things change over the course of the evening, but what one or two things or players are you headed out to the academy to check out tonight? What can maybe we get in the Gazette tomorrow? A little sneak peek, maybe, Brent, before we go?
Well, we'll see. There's a lot going on tonight with the Gazette and my role and this and that, but I will be there to watch. You know, the way I approach practice at this point in this year is I don't go out there with too many expectations. I just go out there and whatever becomes worth watching is what I watch. And I just find that that's the best way to lead me to find the new developments. You know, if I go in there with a set agenda, I might miss something else. So, you know, that said, I will probably watch the defensive line. I want to see some of these big young guys, especially Fafita, the 300-pounder. I want to see how he moves with his pads on and how he's able to drive and do some things like that. And of course, I'm going to watch these young running backs to see who's going to step up. But beyond that, you know, I'm just going to keep my eyes open and see what develops.
Well, make sure you bring an umbrella.
Yeah, I'll wear a rain jacket. I'm not much of an umbrella guy.
Brent Brigham can't let his style be cramped by an umbrella. You can follow him on Twitter at Brent Brigham, and then, of course, read him in print online at Gazette.com. Definitely check out his piece about Tim McVay. Really good stuff in there, and you can find that on Gazette.com. Brent, thanks as always.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You bet. There's Brent Brigham, Air Force beat writer all the time, Broncos beat writer today, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. This is good a time as any to qualify somebody to have their draft party thrown at the Tilt-A-Kill on Thursday. Now, Thursday is also the night where the Broncos are playing the Bears in the preseason. Obviously, you're going to already be there for that. Why not get your league together, go and have your draft? Tilt-A-Kill will take care of the food, the drinks, and while we're there from 3 to 6 doing the show, we're giving you a chance to win a Broncos jersey. So, a lot going on. If you are interested in having your league's fantasy draft at Tilt-A-Kill this Thursday night, text FANTASY to 286-0046. You get entered. Wednesday, you'll find out if your league is indeed going to have their draft party thrown by the Tilt-A-Kill.
Counting down to kickoff of the high school football season. This is 25 Teams in 25 Days on Drive Time Sports.
Day 5 of our 25 Teams in 25 Days series takes us to Sierra High School. The Stallions went 1-9 for the second consecutive season last year, but they're looking to make some big moves this season. Joining me now, entering his third season as head coach of the Stallions, Shane Rowland. Coach, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Same record as I mentioned last year, but that's just on the surface. That's just when you do a drive-by of your football team. You're there every day. You saw the progression of this team from day one to the final day of the season. I would imagine that you saw improvement. It just may not have shown up when it comes to wins and losses.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, we put in a lot of time as coaching staff and as kids last year, and the kids, you know, really did respond at times to some really good things. It's just unfortunate that, you know, at the end of the game, we were not on the right end of the winning side, you know. So, but we did make some improvements. We got stronger. We got faster. And that's our goal every year, you know, going in to this summer. We really tried to break down and do fundamentals and get our kids stronger in the weight room and get them better at being football players and being athletic and being athletes. So, and like you said, we're really hoping to put together some stuff and be on the winning side of games this year.
When you're rebuilding a program, you're spending nearly as much time just creating the culture that you want in your football program, probably as much or close to as much as you're preparing for Pueblo Central or Pueblo East on a weekly basis. So now as you enter your third season here, what does that culture entail? What do you want a Shane Roland football program, football team to exemplify?
Well, we're looking to build all-around athletes. You know, we want multiple sport athletes. We want kids that go out for football to go out for wrestling and basketball. And, you know, be that multiple sport kid and then even going out for track baseball in the spring. We want kids to compete, and we want them to compete all the time with each other, against other people in all types of settings. We're looking for leadership. We're looking for kids to lead both on the field and in the classroom. You know, we have a high number of kids that are in AP classes and really represent our school well. You know, Sierra is a school where we got lots of kids going to colleges, you know, for lots of different things. And, you know, summer sports too. We look to build leadership. We build through commitment. And that's why we, you know, have a whole summer long program where, you know, we work on the things that we expect on a daily basis, you know, that leadership, that commitment, that hard work, that no excuses, eliminating mistakes, all those things that tie into life and not only being a good football player, but being a upstanding young man and someone that is, you know, ready to be an adult.
Sierra head coach Shane Roland joining me here on Drive Time Sports, 25 teams in 25 days. You mentioned earlier some of the things you've been working on. Obviously, it's more nuanced than just one thing in terms of what you need to do to improve and see that improvement in the win-loss record. Listening to your answer earlier, I hear fundamentals brought up a lot. And so would it be fair to say that if you guys are going to produce more wins than you did the last couple of seasons, that you guys need to be more fundamentally sound, less mistakes? Would that be a fair assessment on what's going to lead to the improvement this year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we go back and look and at games and, you know, and even when you're at other schools, you go back and sometimes it comes down to, you know, last year, a lot of times in games, the Harrison game, even the you know, Woodland Park game and the Mitchell game, we had opportunities to put the ball in the end zone and, you know, go up and have an opportunity to be successful. And little things, jumping off sides, a misalignment, missed assignment, those types of things are what ultimately cost ball games.
So as you look at your team, there are not a lot of teams in the city that have the ability to start a quarterback that has played for 2 years. That's rare. And now your quarterback does have that ability to play for a third season. How much better can Andre Clemens be this year for you?
He can, you know, he has got all the tools. Got everything there at his disposal. He's got kids to throw to. He's got athletes in the backfield that can run the ball. You know, his success is going to be determined also not only on himself, but, you know, his teammates, you know, and everybody rallying around each other and playing together, you know, not being that individual, but Andre is poised and I think on the verge of being having a very good senior year.
You mentioned the athletes he has in the backfield. Xavier Brown is one of those, but that's not all that Xavier is asked to do on your football team. You also look at last year's stats and you say this is a guy for Sierra to have a good season needs to be a factor on both sides of the ball. Do you think that he is ready to take that step up and be a huge contributor on both offense and defense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's that kid that, you know, he can be that kid that can play, you know, pretty much anywhere we need him to play. You know, we're going to, you know, we have stuff in to where he is not just going to be the key, but he's going to be a key factor in the play, you know, whether it's at tailback or at wide receiver or, you know, wherever we need to. And kind of the same thing on defense. You know, he's a kid that we could play pretty much anywhere on the field just because of his knowledge of football, his ability to play. I mean, he's just an all-around good athlete. And he's one of those four-sport kids. I mean, he plays football, he plays basketball, he runs track, and he plays baseball last year. You know, he's that kid that, you know, you really like having on your team.
You have the unique opportunity. I say unique opportunity. Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it's not so much to have the defending state champions turn up on your schedule every year. But I would imagine as you build this program, you look at the annual matchup with Pueblo East as a way to show your guys this is what it takes to get to that level. And while sometimes the game doesn't go the way you want it to, I would imagine that's valuable to have the champ in your league to be able to show your guys that, you know, give them something to strive for.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, there's that definite measuring stick right in our league. We've seen them, you know, the last 2 years, you know, since I got here, and they've gone on to be the state champions. You know, having other successful programs like Coach Wilson down at County, who's mm-hmm. won state championships, and how their program operates. Harrison, you know, with Coach Mello, and the way they go about business and the way they practice and the way they prepare. You know, we have, throughout the entire league, we have measuring sticks. Even within the city at Discovery Canyon and other schools around that, you know, have that successful plan and that successful approach to a program. It's very useful, and we do use it as a measuring stick, and we do use it as some motivational, like, you know, listen, guys, you know, don't think that another school is not working. You know, mm-hmm. that's why we're working. That's why we're trying to get better, you know, and we take that. And my mentality, too, is, you know, when you're here, it's a day to get better. It's a day to, as a coach, as a player, it's a day to get better. It's a day to gain ground on someone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we expect work ethic. We expect work. It's not just going through the motions. We want to get some work done. We want what we do here to be positive and with purpose.
Well, and you guys got an interesting test right out of the gate. TCA without two Burvigs. Going to be very interesting to see what they have, but obviously that's a tremendous program as well. Shane, really appreciate the time and the insight today. All the best for your Stallions this year.
Thank you. Appreciate it, and all the best to other local schools and coaches, and you know, just hope everyone has a good, healthy year. That's always the best when you go out and everybody's healthy and everybody's ready to go, and, you know, there's no excuses type thing.
Exactly. Coach, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Sierra head coach Shane Rowland joining me here on Drive Time Sports, 25 teams in 25 days.
The NFL season is right around the corner.
I want the best guy for this football team.
And Denver's got a lot to figure out.
I feel way more comfortable out there with those guys.
This is Drive Time Sports training camp coverage presented by Tilted Kilt.
Yes, indeedy. Our Broncos training camp coverage brought to you by Tilted Kilt. Every Thursday, come in and enjoy $2 you call it. And what a coinkydink. What impeccable timing by the folks at Tilted Kilt, because it just so happens that this Thursday is the Broncos' first preseason game. And you get the $2 you call it at Tilted Kilt. We will be there broadcasting the show from 3 to 6. We're also going to be qualifying somebody in just a moment to get entered to win their fantasy draft party at the Tilted Kilt. We're also giving away a Broncos jersey while we're there. So a lot of stuff going on at TK on Thursday. Right now, to chat a little bit about the Broncos, we welcome onto the program the sports director of KKTV Channel 11, Sam Farnsworth, joins us. Sam, how are you today?
Not too bad. How about you?
See, I know you're lying, because if I followed Sam Farnsworth 11 on Twitter this weekend, all I see is hashtag travel problems. Where were you going? What are you doing? And why does every accommodation that you had over the weekend fail miserably?
It didn't fail terribly. Okay. But I guess you can point the finger at me, because I made the accommodation, so I should have been a little more, maybe should have chosen quality over price.
Right.
I was trying to save a few bucks. I was in Canton for the enshrinement, Terrell Davis. So that's where I was Friday, Saturday, and came back yesterday. So and then I couldn't get the in-flight entertainment app on Delta. I couldn't get it to download for the life of me. A 3-hour flight, and I couldn't get it to download, so I couldn't watch any movies. So that's where I was a little bummed there and tweeting at Delta, asking them what I needed to do. So, oh well.
You have. Most of us know that Delta's not the way to go, but that's the SLC coming out in you, that you have this like affinity for Delta Airlines. It's like nobody flies Delta anymore.
Yeah, well, it also, in all honesty, it also just had to do with that's the best price flight I could get. So,
and you found out the reason. So how, like, obviously it takes on a whole nother level. Being that Terrell Davis got in, but just describe to us what it's like at these enshrinement ceremonies, because we see them on TV and it only gives us a small window into it. Being there live and in person, what was that like?
I thought it was pretty cool. Extremely long, obviously.
Right.
So, and you don't, they don't really announce the order that they're going in or anything. So it's like, oh, please. I know Terrell's probably not going to be last, but please, sooner than later, because, you know, Terrell didn't speak until it was a good couple hours in. You know, that whole thing went about 4.5 hours or so, I think, maybe even a little longer than that. But overall, just watching the fans, so Jason Taylor was the first one to speak, and I saw the Dolphins fans and how they react. Or actually, it was Kenny Easley was first, and seeing some of the old Seahawks fans and just fans from his hometown that were there. Anytime he mentioned his hometown or his high school, they would go nuts. And so that was actually really cool just to see some of those, a lot of the fans that go. I mean, you've got some diehard fans that go, but a lot of them in one way or another have a tie to their hometown or to their college. There's a lot of TCU shirts there for LaDainian Tomlinson, you know. So they all had a tie one way or another, at least to them, to their favorite athlete that was there. And then, of course, the speeches are fantastic. They're great. So that was really cool. But Friday night, the banquet where they put on their gold jackets for the first time was also that was kind of one of those chicken skin moments where you see Terrell, you know, his agent up there, who's one of his best friends, you know, taking off his old jacket and putting a gold jacket on him. And for me, it was a cool experience. Obviously, it was work too, so there was just kind of nonstop. But overall, I thought it was very cool when at the gold jacket banquet, they also would announce each enshrinee of the class of 2017, and they kind of walk through a tunnel of all of the former Hall of Famers, or current, I should say, the former inductees, wearing their gold jackets, shaking their hands, giving them hugs as they walk to the stage. And so seeing stuff like that was really cool. And then at the end of Terrell Davis' speech, they had a photo op behind the stage, and this was the other part for me, because I you know, I don't think it's I think it's pretty obvious I'm a Bronco fan. I grew up a Bronco fan, so those were the guys I watched. And so to see him at the photo op backstage, you had John Elway, Floyd Little, Terrell Davis, Shannon Sharpe, and Gary Zimmerman lined up in a row. And I'm like, that right there is really cool. Now they're just missing Steve Atwater and, you know, a handful of other guys.
So is Steve Atwater the next Bronco to get in whenever that may be, do you think?
I think he's the next player to get in, yes. I think Pat Bowlen,
right.
I think there's a great chance he gets in next year. You know, Terrell Davis even said in his speech, you know, that
that was classy.
A plea to the committee, mm-hmm. you know, Pat Bowlen needs to be inducted next year. It's a shame that he wasn't, and we've talked about this on the show, it's a shame that he wasn't inducted this year with TD. That would have been just, you know, the cherry on top of it all. But I think we see Pat Bowlen get in, and then player-wise, yeah, I think Steve Atwater is probably the next.
So as to two guys who I don't want to be mean, but will probably never put on a gold jacket, Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch right now. So Vance names Trevor the starter against Chicago, says that Paxton Lynch will be the starter against San Francisco. Your sense of this quarterback competition, is what will it take for Paxton to overtake Trevor Siemian? Or is this thing a wrap and we're all just going through the motions at this point?
I think what it's going to take for one to emerge over the other, and more specifically for Paxton to emerge, is to put it frankly, to suck a little less.
Yeah.
Because in training camp, neither have been great. They've had their moments where you're like, oh, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the separation. We're going to see it here. Like, I think it was day three of camp. Trevor Siemian, I'm like, oh, here it is. I think he's going to take off here and take over that starting role. That didn't happen. He you know, regressed a bit in the whole thing. And we've seen the same thing happen with Paxton. So I think these preseason games are going to end up whoever performs less worse in these preseason games is going to be the starter. And maybe come game time, even though it's a preseason game, maybe come game time, one of these guys totally shoots forward and is like, I'm a gamer, I'm not a practicer, but I'm, you know, Allen Iverson type
right.
deal. You know, at game time, maybe they show up. And so that's what I'm hoping to see, at least a glimpse of Thursday, is to see one of these guys take that first move forward and say, hey, when it comes to game time, I'm the one. I'm ready.
Our poll question today is based on this. I was saying on Friday, just call it off. Paxton's not going to win this thing. Just give it to Trevor. Let him get all the first-team reps. And if he stinks, you can always go back to Paxton Lynch. Wheels, being the sage that he is, convinced me to wait until after Chicago. Now Vance is saying, well, Paxton gets to start the second preseason game, so now I guess the Broncos want us to at least wait till halfway through the preseason. At what point are you like, okay, this thing needs to be called? Okay, I'm done with this. Is it right now? Is it after Thursday? Is it after both guys get a start? Or are you just cool with whenever they decide is when they decide?
I think it would be in the best interest of the quarterbacks, the team, and the coaches, everyone, if by after that second preseason game, they can with confidence say, this is our guy right now. Because that third preseason game, as we know, that's when the starters play the most. And you'd like to see whoever it is be able to get a good two and a half quarters of work in with the first team, you know, to start. Because in that fourth game, they're not going to play that much. So that's by then is when you really want to know. Now, if it's still kind of this back and forth, they both are kind of in the same area type deal, my thought is going into the regular season, go with Trevor. He started last year. And kind of what you just said, if he stinks after a couple of games, then you can go to Paxton and say, all right, we're moving forward with the future now. No matter what happens this year with Paxton, these are his reps to get better and to build for the future. You know, I think if you went the other way around, I think if you started with Paxton and after two or three games he's not cutting it and you bench him for Siemian, then what you're saying to Paxton is you don't have what it takes to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, and you're not our future, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think the safe thing to do if you're still in that situation where neither guy is emerging is by week one to stick with Trevor for at least the first couple of weeks.
First depth chart came out. We got Simeon or Lynch, which is just so ridiculous. But outside of that, anything that jumped out to you on the offense or defense that maybe caught you by surprise or that you thought was very noteworthy?
Yeah, maybe no surprises, really, especially when you look at the defense. There's really no surprises. That's who you expect to be, first stringers, and even two deep is pretty well what you expect. You know, Vance Joseph talked about the competition for that fifth defensive back spot coming in to training camp, and maybe I guess you could say the fourth with the way the depth chart came out. But the rookie Brendan Langley ahead of Lorenzo Doss, I thought Doss was going to kind of move forward and be that, you know, guy behind Roby on the depth chart, but it's Langley, so maybe that's a little bit of a surprise there on defense. On offense, I had a friend of mine ask me, does Jamaal Charles really suck that bad that he's third on the depth chart? I'm like, I don't think it's because he sucks. I think it's because what we've talked about and what the Broncos have said, they've been easing him into it, and technically he's kind of number two because Booker is out still, and he's going to, you know, he
right.
Who knows if he's ready for week one. So I think I'm still interested to see where Jamaal Charles goes. I was a little surprised that D'Angelo Henderson was as low as he was there, but maybe that's just because he's a rookie, lack of experience. The receivers, Jordan Taylor is third at that side. He's behind Benny Fowler. Mm-hmm. And so you know, Jordan Taylor's a guy who might be fighting for a roster spot when it's said and done. I know the fans love him, and he kind of emerged over the past season and a half, but he might not end up on the roster when it's all said and done, depending on what the Broncos decide. So far, not a ton of surprises. I think it's about where we all expected the depth chart to be at this point, but of course a lot can change through those first couple of preseason games.
And the first preseason game, and the second, and the third, and the fourth can be seen on KKTV Channel 11, so make sure you check that out on Thursday. You can also follow Sam on Twitter at SamFarnsworth11. Sam, always appreciate the time and the insight. We'll talk very soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yep, always our pleasure. Sam Farnsworth, KKTV Channel 11, joining us here on Drive Time Sport. Thanks to Sam Farnsworth, Brent Brigeman, and Shane Rowland, the head coach of Sierra High School. The Classical Academy will go under our microscope tomorrow. Justin Rich, his first year running that program, will join us on the show as well. That's going to do it for Drive Time Sports. Four Wheels, I'm Ryan. Sky Sox Baseball coming up in just mere moments here on Extra Sports 1300.